IGTV.
This is Martin Sender, and I welcome you to the show. Yesterday, Rodney and I started a new series, and Rodney decided to do this. He took the Sender Talks. It's audio series I started in 2001. This is my first excursion into broadcasting. And I guess it was a bit pioneering because I wasn't aware at the time that anything like this was being done. A man named Stan Hartman and his wife Ruth invited my family and me to Seattle, Washington. Actually, they lived in a town called Wenatchee on the other side of the mountains. This was in 2000. And we had a nice conversation with Stan, and then I went to lunch with Stan and a friend, and Stan's the one that said, "Martin, you need to start a publishing company." Stan's last name was Hartman, and so our company, Stark & Hartman, is named after Stan Hartman. The Stark is the county in Ohio that my sister lives in, where I used to live. We added an E for flair. It's S-T-A-R-K, but we added an E just to make it kind of, you know, hip and cool. But anyway, it was when I was in Seattle, I told Stan, I said, one of these days soon, I mean, I really have this desire to make like a radio show, like a broadcast, to take these truths and to make them entertaining, to put them in a very vibrant, a very present audio presentation, and he really encouraged me. So the first thing he told me was, you need to start a publishing company. I took that to heart. And I told him about my idea to make an audio show, almost like a radio show, like a faux radio show. And he said, go for it. So I came home. I had a studio, and I had a little office in downtown Greenwich, Ohio, which is a little town of like 2,000 people, and I started a thing called Sender Talk. And so if you haven't seen this, the link is below. Rodney Paris, our friend from Texas, loves this series, and he has taken the first 5 shows. I think I made a total of 80 of these. And he took the first 5 Monday through Friday, and he put video to them as he does. And he presented them to you yesterday. So if you haven't seen it, please watch that. The truth is timeless. That is the greatest thing about what we believe and what we pronounce and what we herald, is that it never gets old. It is always new every single day. I'm Martin Sender. Welcome to the show. I have a quote from my friend Stephen Janowski. Stephen Janowski, if you don't know, is a herald of the truth. He's a great writer. And he's also friends with Seth Fallenkamp. And let me tell you that Stephen Janowski and Seth Fallenkamp are two young believers who are completely plugged into the God of the universe and his son Jesus Christ in the plan of the eons. And they are so one with a plan. And I recommend you to read anything Stephen Janowski has written. He's done a series on Romans, as I have. And I'm going to share a quote to you from him. He texted me this. I believe he texted me this. And when I read it, it was so profound. And I said, someday I have to make a show about this. So today is the day. I'm going to quote Stephen Janowski. But if you find anything written or broadcast by Stephen Janowski or Seth Fallenkamp, then you're in a good place, and they will not steer you wrong. They are men whom God has called to herald the word in these last hours of Millennium 6. So here was the quote. Now, I can't remember if I read this or if Stephen sent this to me privately, but this is what he said. And this is a profundity uttered by this man, formerly of Baltimore, currently of Texas. He lives near Rodney Paris. He said this: I'm just in this weird stage of my spiritual development where I'm losing touch with this body of sin. Wow. Can I repeat that for you? I'm just in this weird stage of my spiritual development where I'm losing touch with this body of sin. And that is the essence of Paul's gospel, where you lose touch with the earthly, with the mortal, with the part of you that is dying, with the old creation. Stephen was becoming so preoccupied with Christ and his glories and the calling above that he noticed that he was losing touch. And to a religious person, which Stephen is not, and Seth isn't either, but to a religious person, this would be a cause for panic. They would be, I'm losing touch with this body of sin. It's like I'm losing touch with my desire to perform, to behave, to attempt to do the right things, to even attempt the law of Moses. And this would be an utter panic to a religious person. And we were all at one time religious people. And if you had told us at a certain stage of our development that you are going to forget that you're a sinner, you are going to forget that you're a mortal being, you are going to start to forget that you're a vessel of clay, we would say, oh no, like that would be the last thing Jesus would want. Jesus wants us to be constantly wringing our hands over our failures, over our failure to be like him. And yet, no. In Paul's gospel, it is just the opposite. We are to be preoccupied with things above, and we are to believe what God says of us, not what we see in the mirror, not what we think of ourselves. And that is that we are justified by faith apart from works of law, and that God sees us as righteous. That's the essence of the word justification. The root word there is just, and it means right. We are right before God. You are not hearing this in mainstream Christianity. In fact, they will force you out of this heavenly occupation. Colossians 3, verse 1, we died with Christ and our life is hid with Christ in God. Let's go to Colossians. This is a great verse. Colossians, I've gone to this so many times. This is one of my favorite verses. If then you were roused together with Christ, and the reason we were roused together with Christ, Colossians 3:1, is because we were crucified together with Christ. Romans 6:6. If then you were roused together with Christ, be seeking that which is above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God, be disposed to that which is above, not to that on the earth. And that's what Stephen said. I'm losing touch, tactile connection with this body of sin. And this is exactly what he's supposed to do and what we're supposed to do. Be disposed to that which is above, not to that on the earth. For you died, Romans 6:6. We were crucified with Christ. This is a Pauline truth. You will not find this in Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, or James, or Hebrews, or in any of the letters of John, or Peter, or in the book of Revelation. For you died, and your life is hid together with Christ in God. Even our friend Johnny Green has recently said, no, you have to concentrate on your sins. You have to remember your sins constantly. You have to constantly feel bad. You have to constantly tell God you're sorry, constantly repent, constantly put your faults on a graph, monitor your the progress of your flesh. And Stephen and us, we say no. No, we refuse to do it because Christ has made all things new, 2 Corinthians 5. We are a new creation in Christ. And nothing, Romans 8, is now condemnation to those in Christ Jesus. Nothing. Now I want to go to Galatians chapter 3, verse 3. Listen to how this goes along with this. Paul says to the Galatians, and we know the problem in Galatia was that the circumcisionists, the Israelites, could not believe that Paul was telling the people there that they were not obligated to do any of the law, that they were free in Christ, and that grace covered them for everything. But the Galatians were being tricked. And it's so easy to be tricked, and I want to keep you from being tricked. Tricked into reverting, to backsliding. You want to know what backsliding is? Christians think that backsliding is you start doing a bunch of sins. No, backsliding is you start to be obsessed with your sins and you start to try to overcome your sins. That is true backsliding. So foolish are you, Paul says, Galatians chapter 3, verse 3, undertaking in spirit? Are you now being completed in flesh? Being completed in flesh is becoming obsessed with your flesh, with how it's performing, with how you are doing, with how God might see you. The only way you could question or doubt how God sees you is if you completely throw away or ignore Paul's announcement that you are justified. Are you now being completed in flesh? Paul is beside himself because the Galatians who had started in spirit were now thinking that, okay, we started in spirit, but now we have to work at it. We knew it was too good to be true. We started with this great announcement of grace and we loved it. We felt great about it. But now this old nagging feeling, the ghost of Christmas past, the old voices from your old religion, the place where you all were, where I once was, where all of us were, is telling us you can't be completed in spirit. Sure, you began in spirit. It's a beautiful thing, but now you have to work at it. No, never, never. We started in spirit and we continue in spirit. And as you do that, you will find that this body of flesh, as Stephen says, you just start to lose touch with it. And again, the religious man would tend to panic at this. I'm not caring anymore. It's like I still care, but I'm not panicking. I'm not worried anymore about my flesh, about my body. And that is exactly the place you need to be. Having begun in spirit, are you now being completed in flesh? It's a rhetorical question. The answer is no. Paul says in verse 4, so much did you suffer faintedly, since surely it is also faintedly. That is, if you start to think that you need to be perfected in flesh, then this whole message that I brought you, you've pretended to know it, but you really don't. And the suffering is really taking the arrows and the barbs of those who are still in religions who hate you for being so free. That is where the suffering comes in. Is that the religious world resents and hates your freedom in Christ. They hate it. Let's go to Romans 6 and verse 6. Knowing this, that our old humanity was crucified together with him, that the body of sin, and this is what Stephen says, I'm losing touch with this body of sin. I'm losing touch with it. It's like, what's happening? The thing I used to be obsessed with and think about all the time is going away. It's getting very dim, very distant. Well, look what Paul says in Romans 6:6. knowing this, that our old humanity was crucified together with him, that the body of sin may be nullified, for us by no means to be still slaving for sin. And as you've heard on this channel many times, slaving for sin has nothing to do with and does not mean that you're just sinning all the time. It means that you're slaving to overcome it. You're obsessed with the idea that you have to conquer your flesh and that God cannot possibly be pleased with you unless you conquer your flesh. That is what it means to be still slaving for sin. Isn't that ironic? That people in the Christian world, or even our friend Johnny Green and his daughter Caitlin, you remember? My friends who suddenly turned after having apparently believed in the grace of God, they started to say, no, you have to think about your sins. You have to repent. You have to, like they told me in the Catholic Church, every month I had to gather up my sins. I had to think about my sins, concentrate on my sins, and present them once a month to the priest. I had to go in that little shadowy box, see that mysterious oblique figure behind the veil, and confess my sins. And then the priest told me I had to say so many prayers in order to overcome my sin. What a deception they put me in as a child, to think that my failures were still an offense to God. What did Jesus do on the cross? According to them, not a damn thing. But the truth is, Jesus Christ did everything on the cross, everything. To the point that Paul says, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit in Romans 6:6, knowing this, that our old humanity was crucified together with him, that the body of sin may be nullified. Now, I used to look at this as a total thing in the future. Okay, like we are now justified. That's a present truth. That the body of sin, that is, these things we still do, may be nullified. Like sometime in the future, this body is going to be changed. At the snatching away, it's going to be changed from mortality to immortality in the tossing of an eye at the last trump. But now I find out that in the Concordant version, and I'm going to show you a screenshot of this. In the Concordant version, there's a vertical stroke in front of the word nullified, which means it is the incomplete verb form, which means how this reads in the Greek is that the body of sin may be being nullified. It's an ongoing thing. It is now being nullified. And Stephen probably never even realized he was living out Romans 6:6, said, I'm just losing touch. I'm at the point, he says. I'm at this weird stage of my spiritual development where I'm losing touch with this body of sin. And Paul says it right here, that the body of sin may be being nullified, the incomplete verb form, ongoing. It's not just something that's going to happen in the future. It is completely, but it's something that even now is happening, that this hold that our failures had on us is gone, and we're losing touch with it. And the voice of condemnation is getting duller and dimmer and more silent. The voice of condemnation, the voice of guilt, the voice of tisk, tisk, shame on you. It's going away, it's going away, going away, going away. And we see ourselves as Christ says that we are, as God says that we are, justified. And as soon as that happens, you're no longer a slave of sin. Capital S, this power that admittedly still exists in us. But screw it. Put it to death. Silence it. Gag it. Like Paul says of the circumcision, these people must be gagged. They must be shut up, these people. And anyone who comes against you, whether it's someone close to you and your family, they're still going to church, or whether it's Johnny Green or Caitlin Green, anyone that tries to dig up the old humanity and put it in front of you and say, you got to deal with this still. You have to deal with this. No, you don't. That was crucified. And the body of sin is even now being nullified, or to put it in Stephen Janowski terms, you're to be losing touch with it. You don't hear it anymore. The connection. Like when you get out of range of a radio station, you're driving your car and you're tuned in to your favorite FM radio station, Classic Rock 106.2, and you're driving to a different town. And you can't get it anymore. It's becoming dim. It's becoming dull. And you try to get it. You can't get it anymore. You start to not be able to hear it. That's it. Man, that's it. You don't hear it anymore. That's an act of the Spirit of God. If that thing starts to disappear, that's the glory of our evangel. I mean, that's it. I don't know how to say it any better than that. That's it. That's it. So please watch yesterday's video, Zender Talk. It's basic truths, but the basic truths we need to hear over and over again, and never gets old. It never gets old. And it will be refreshment to you. It'll be fun. It's fast moving. And the truth of God is fast moving. We need to be reminded of the basics all the time. So I commend those audios to you. And I thank God for Rodney Pierce, who puts the video to them and brings them alive to a new generation. So thank God for all my co-laborers that I've mentioned today, and those I have not mentioned, all those who are laboring to bring you the word, to remind you of the greatness of God and of the weakness of flesh, and how we are not debtors anymore to the flesh, but we are free in Christ. Galatians 5, verse 1, for freedom, Christ frees you. Therefore, my brothers and sisters in Christ, be free.